All right, everyone, welcome to the closed session meeting for 5 p.m. for our regular meeting of the Arroyo Grande City Council for Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Seacrest.
Here.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge.
Here.
Mayor Ray Ressam.
Here.
And Councilmember George is absent.
All right, will you please join me in the flag salute? Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, we will take item 5 first and then item 4. Let's have our city attorney announce the closed session items.
Thank you, Mayor. So on this evening's closed session, we have labor negotiation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. There are four listed categories that have been included. One, employee organization, the Arroyo Grande Police Officers Association, with the city designated negotiators listed on the agenda. Two, the employee organization Service Employees International Union, Local 620, with the city designated negotiators listed on the agenda. Three, unrepresented management employees with the city designated negotiator listed on the agenda. And finally, city manager with the city designated negotiator listed on the agenda.
Thank you very much. So at this time, we'll open up public comment on closed session items, and seeing no one in chambers, we'll check in with our city clerk.
There are no members of the public online and there are no written comments.
All right, then we will close public comment. We'll adjourn to closed session and we will be back at 6 o'clock. Right. All right, everyone. Welcome to the resumption of the city council meeting for, I don't have the date in front of me now. That day.
September 12th.
Thank you. September 12th, 2023. Can we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Seacrest.
Here.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmember George.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge.
Here.
Mayor Ray Ressam.
Here. Would you please silently join me in a moment of reflection? Thank you. And would you please join me in the flag salute? Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, this takes us to item 5, agenda review. First of all, anybody have any need to do anything different than is published tonight? We'll proceed as published, and I'll turn it over to our city attorney to announce items 5A.
Thank you, Mayor. So the city council met and adjourned to closed session at 5 p.m., and the closed session items listed on the agenda were read into the record at that time. Although there is not reportable action out of tonight's closed session, there are agreements in the open session component of this agenda with respect to both employee organizations listed, as well as unrepresented management employees to be considered in open session this evening.
Thank you very much. And item 5B is ordinances, and we have none this evening, so we can go right past that to our special presentations. So at the podium, I'd like to invite Erica Ruvalcaba from the Latino Outreach Council Board so I can present this proclamation. Okay, this is an honorary proclamation recognizing September 15th to October 15th, 2023 as National Hispanic Heritage Month. Whereas the city of Arroyo Grande is welcoming, inclusive, and dedicated to improving the quality of life for those who live, work, and visit here. And whereas what began in 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week under President Johnson and was expanded by President Reagan in 1988 to cover a 30-day period starting on September 15th, the United States observes Hispanic Heritage Month. And whereas Hispanic Heritage Month celebrates the histories, cultures, and contributions of those whose ancestors came to America from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central and South America. And whereas the purpose of Hispanic Heritage Month is to create awareness of the contributions of people of Hispanic heritage to the American culture. Many people of Hispanic heritage serve as civil rights leaders and community organizers, politicians, teachers, journalists, first responders, artists, healthcare professionals, athletes, inventors, entertainers, and more. Whereas Hispanic Heritage Month is tied to the celebration of the rich tapestry of our community and reflects an array of distinct cultures. And whereas Arroyo Grande is fortunate to count among its population a large number of residents of Spanish and Latin American descent who grow businesses, offer innovative ideas, strengthen our economies, create jobs, and contribute to our daily lives. And now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Karen Ray Russom, Mayor of the City of Arroyo Grande, do hereby proclaim September 15th to October 15th, 2023, as National Hispanic Heritage Month in Arroyo Grande, and invite the community to learn more of the Hispanic culture, people, traditions, and values that have positively enriched our community.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'd love to invite you to speak.
Sure. Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to introduce myself really quick. My name is Erika Rubalcaba Heredia, and I'm a Latino Outreach Council board member and director for civic and cultural affairs. And what we do with Latino Outreach Council, we do a lot of different activities because we want to continue enriching the Latino culture here in San Luis Obispo County. Madam Chair and council members, I am honored to appear before you to receive such a prestigious proclamation recognizing the contributions of Hispanics in our communities. On behalf of the Latino Outreach Council, I just want to say thank you so much for your support.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. And at this time, I'll go ahead and open up public comment.
Take a picture.
Oh. Well, why don't we come up here and we'll all come up so it'll look nice. We'll get the whole,
yeah.
Oh, you're doing it, okay.
Oh, yeah, this is her phone, so it's fine. Here we go. Hopefully.
All right. So let's go ahead and open up public comment and see if anyone would like to comment on item 6A, our honorary proclamation. And seeing no one coming forward, let's check in with the city clerk.
There are no members of the public online and there are no written comments.
All right, then we'll close item 6A. We'll move on to our interim city manager communications.
I apologize. I was on the wrong tab. There are two members online, so if we can open up.
Oh,
if
sure.
Any members of the public online would like to speak, please raise your hand. There are no raised hands.
All right. So we'll close public comment again and move on to item 6B. Mr. Robeson.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor and council members. Good evening. I have two things to update the council on. One is some activity that was done at our Board of Supervisors, our County Board of Supervisors this morning. And then we're gonna get into some projects that are going on in the village. There's a culmination of things there. We wanna update you on that. Shannon Sweeney, our city engineer, is here, and she will give you some details on that. But let me first start off by giving you an update on the fire station in Oceano and how that interacts with FCFA. So at today's board meeting, the Board of Supervisors voted 5-0 to support a contract with FCFA to provide fire and emergency medical services to Oceano beginning on the 1st of July of 2024. This was a unanimous vote for them, and that's not totally consistent with their voting record. They have a lot of engagement and a lot of contrasting views. So today was a unanimous vote. So that was something that was somewhat noteworthy. Matt Bronson, the CEO of the FCFA, spoke. I was there in attendance, and so was Fire Chief Steve Lieberman. Also, some representatives from the local 4403. We've been talking with board members and the CAO's office for weeks leading up to this process and this action that the board took today. And there was also past and present representatives that came from the OCSD that also spoke in favor of contracting with FCFA. And they really had some positive things to say about the fire service that they've been experiencing in the past and currently. So the board's direction included contracting for a continued 2-0 staffing through the board. Though the board members each recognize that 3-0 staffing is something that's identified in the county strategic plan and something that they want to achieve in the future. The county isn't able to get to that point because there are real equity concerns between different portions of the unincorporated areas. There are also significant budget constraints that have been talked about in public. The county's budget is about in the $15 million range of being underfunded. So that was an issue as well. And a county fire tax would also is also being looked at so that there will be a revenue generator for all these areas like Cayucas and other parts of the county that have 2-0 staffing at this point. Once again, they want to get three people on an engine, but the amount of revenue that's being generated at this point is not enough to make that happen. But going through that fire tax, if that's approved, the CAO has talked to our staff and Grover Beach's staff, and they're willing to reopen the agreement at that point. And if that's successful, and start to look at increasing the staffing on the fire engines. So fire prevention was also a piece of a component of the contract that wasn't totally talked about. So we're going to have to talk about that in front of the FCFA board. And that's something that will be further negotiated, how we're going to do that, how those fire inspections will take place in Oceano. We're taking care of that through our building services at this point inside the cities of Oro Grande and Grover Beach. Then lastly, there was some discussion about renovation of Station 3 that was brought up, but it would have to take place in a future scenario. But running a third company out of Station 3 would be kind of an ideal scenario for everyone. I'm sorry. Thank you. So these are some of the points I was talking about. Sorry, I didn't advance the slide, but our next step, as you can see on the bottom, is meeting with the FCFA board on October 16th to discuss the county's direction, determine contract, deal points, and staffing, fire prevention, and things that I've just mentioned. So that's kind of a general update, and we'll get into the details more with the fire board on the 16th of October. There was one thing that I didn't mention.
Bill, I'm sorry, why don't we, so you're gonna switch subjects with Shannon in just a second, so why don't we stop at the end of the fire thing, and there's a couple questions up here, so.
Sure.
But did you have something to add in there, or were you going to switch over?
I was going to switch over. I have a third item, very short item, about the creek education on Tally Ho. But
okay, so why don't we
stick with this topic?
Yeah, Councilmember George.
Thank you. I think this is the first time I heard about the county going out for a fire tax. Mm-hmm. So my question is, would that be, I guess, countywide? Is that just in unincorporated areas, or would that be countywide, every resident?
That would be for the unincorporated areas only.
Only for them, okay.
Yes.
And that's not just the Oceano special tax. It would
no.
be the countywide.
Right. So okay. Though it starts to get a little bit more complex, but there are areas of benefit that have to be looked at. So the tax would have to actually be collected out of an area of benefit and but that's something that the county is going to be looking at over the next year.
And that's a 2/3 vote special tax,
at this
correct?
Point, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah, everything else I'll ask at the October 16th meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
I do have a question right now because I need to wrap my head around this. Can you go back one slide? So the third white bullet, I want to make sure I'm understanding that they're saying they would talk about going to our level that we have on our MOU of 3.0 staffing if a successful measure was passed in 2024. So we would be doing the same thing we'd done the last 2 or 3 election cycles?
You know, that there may be other scenarios that I'm not aware of that we could start to look at 3.0 staffing, but that's the main one that I've.
But that's what they're saying. I just want to know what they said at that. That's their
correct.
Vision is that they would talk about that if there's a successful tax measure?
That's right.
Okay. Did you have a question, Council? Okay.
So two questions. So I guess I'm a little confused on this 2.0 staffing. So is it up to them or is it up to us?
It's up to the Five Cities Fire Authority Board. Right?
It is up to the Five Cities
I guess that's what I board. Mean. Yeah, or the county.
Yeah, there's a lot of little pieces in there. There are some legal stipulations that say that the county is not required to furnish fire service. But there's also a moral obligation, just a human side of that. So there's a lot of little pieces in there, but we're going to have to unwrap those as we get closer to the 16th of October and supply information.
I'm not sure I got the answer to her question. Maybe you got it.
Well, no, I guess I so my question is, who? Mm. Is it a negotiation, or is it? Does the fire board have the final say on the staffing that the fire board wants, or can the county dictate, this is what we will pay for, and this is all?
That's a good
And can
question.
We say no, thank you, because we prefer the staffing?
I think what the county is intending and communicating is this is the best that they can do, with the money that they have. The timing, and so they're trying to keep the service at the status quo, at least, or equivalent, and go through time and try to improve on the fire service as revenue generation improves.
So, and I think it's also because all the other county fire departments are probably 2.0 staffing, I bet, and so they don't want to. I have heard that it's they're trying to have everything have equity, and so that's probably
bullet.
What
that's the first bullet point
right
right
that's true that's a great
yeah.
way to break it down
yeah.
So they have competing interests. They're trying to get a more of a consistent revenue generator so they can meet that requirement that they would like to have through their strategic plan of having 3.0 service.
Okay, and then the final question is, this is a year away, and so between now and then, it will be this negotiation as mm-hmm. far as, so this whole, what they want, and then possibly in conflict to what the fire board wants, maybe, that might be different, and we're not at the end of, I guess what I'm saying is, I want to make sure there's still lots of negotiation and
yeah.
talk involved with that staffing issue, because we heard about it from the experts a couple 6 months ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I think there's still room for negotiation. But just from, I guess, my experience and listening, the negotiations are going to be kind of narrowed, but we haven't got there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go and meet with the fire board, and we'll bring back information and start to insert that into negotiations with the county.
Okay, and then was there public comment from the fire, from the local?
To board
the Board of Supervisors? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, it was Matt Bronson kind of encapsulating everything and talking about these things, but I think we're trying to come to something that can actually work and provide service during this time versus another scenario.
Okay, thank you.
I have another question. I thought that we were contractually obligated with Five Cities Fire Authority and Local 4403 to provide three in on that rig.
I don't think so. That's not.
I thought isn't that what our MOU is that we just did?
What we offered Oceana was to do two man.
As I remember, what we offered, what we approved, was that we would do Oceana with the two man crew, and they would pay for a two man crew.
That's all they could afford.
That's all they
but,
had.
Right. But the point was we were going to come up with an equation that would incorporate the 3-0 staffing once the county decided whether or not they were going to take over fire service for Oceano.
That's what I'm saying. So.
Right, so it has to go back to the board because, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you, Isaac. I'm just trying to understand what the county is thinking because I thought we had these things in place. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to divine from here, you know, thinking it out loud and thinking about what everybody else is saying.
Yes, and again, we'll have that hearing on the 16th. We'll get a lot more information and a lot more perspective so that we can carry that forward. And then if there's a need or an opportunity and benefit, we'll bring something back to your council as far as how that's shaping.
And that may be something that Councilmember George or I decide that we want to do as well.
That's right.
After we see.
Absolutely. Sure.
So. Okay.
I do just one quick question. So did they give any input on fixing the Oceano station, which I understand was
a
pretty big issue?
They haven't committed to that yet, but we're starting to look at that as something that's a viable solution to how to deal with this. But those smaller pieces are something that we're going to have to continue to discuss.
All right. Let's go ahead to the rest of your items.
So just a really quick update on the Creek Relief Workshop. RCD is putting on a neighborhood meeting, essentially, but all residents are welcome to start talking about kind of the do's and don'ts of how to work in the creek. Tally Ho Creek is obviously a piece of private property, or portions of it are. And we want to allow them to allow the property owners to get best management practices and feedback on that of how to best work in the creek and on their property. And then participate in some vegetation removal demonstrations and things like that so that they can be proactive on trying to alleviate some of the flood issues that we've encountered along with the project that RCD is doing on the head cut. So if there's no questions there, we'll move on to Shannon Sweeney.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. The city is about to embark on several items in the village, including three direct construction projects, one indirect construction project, one program and three events, all prior to the second week in November. And in order to help coordinate and communicate all of those activities, this construction project timeline has been put together. It's available here, and I've also brought hard copies for anybody who's interested. The work is starting this week. You might have noticed markings on Mason and Nevada. It's because there's some street work that'll be done this week in that location. Then we've got a concrete repairs project that will involve the concrete bands and tree wells in the sidewalks as well as crosswalks through the village. On the third direct construction project is slurry sealing of Branch Street, and that will happen after the crosswalks are completed. The one indirect project is the 191 Tally Ho frontage improvements that is on the consent agenda tonight. That is considered related because a detour during the crosswalk work in the village will likely occur on Tally Ho. So we want to make sure that those projects are all coordinated so as not to impact traffic too much. And then the three events are the Harvest Festival, the Big Ditch Market, and the Halloween events. So all of those events need to be coordinated. Village business owners have been notified. This schedule, along with my business card, have been handed to all of the village businesses. And the Village Business Owners Association meeting was this morning. And so I attended that as well to communicate these. The idea is to avoid there being a vacuum of information. I want them to know that they can reach out to me at any time and ask questions and even give input on how we can best communicate information. We want to make sure everybody is aware as possible and can adjust accordingly. I'm not going to say this is going to be fun. I think the happiest day of my work this year is going to be the last day of all of this work. But we're trying to make it as painless as possible and to make sure that all of you were aware. And now that we're having this conversation, we'll start working with Jessica and starting an Instagram messaging so that we can get the information out to the public as well. And I'm very open to any input anybody can provide on the best way to communicate to everybody, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions? The only thing I'd like to suggest is that we go old school too and have it in the city spotlight. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of energy into our social media now, but there's a lot of people who don't use social media. So,
right. We typically have a whole communication channel that we do.
Okay.
We send out information. So it'll cover all of those bases.
And Councilmember George has a question.
Two questions. So I'm interested in the permanent parklets. Do we know where those are going to be?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah,
I can answer that question, but Brian, if you want to, that's fine. So you can fill any gaps that I have, but we have Mule Bakery that's going to have one, Humdinger, and they're going to share one with Rory's, and then we have Via Cantina and Andrini's. I kind of jumped around there, but we're excited about that. You can see that it comes towards the end. We have to be able to get the slurry seal done down this street. Which will look beautiful, restriping with that. And just before that, we take out the K-rail that's been so industrial looking for us for a long time. And we put that slurry seal down, and we come back and put those permanent parklets in that look great. I've looked at them a couple of times. I'm really happy with the color. I think it translates to exactly what your council saw and the ARC saw in the Historical Society. So. We are feeling good about that.
And to slightly elaborate, the schedule for removing the K-rails is now penciled in, actually probably inked in, for October 2nd and 3rd. So the evening of October 2nd and the morning of October 3rd, those will be pulled out. As Bill was alluding to, the first shipment of the parklet barriers arrived last week, and the second one is due at the end of this week, so we can actually physically touch those barriers and see them and see what they look like. So we will be able to keep that schedule of being able to begin installing the ones that are approved once the slurry seal is complete.
I think that's great, and I like that you're removing it after the parade, because then it allows people to still sit out there for the parade. My second question is, with the traffic mitigation, with all of this going on, will we be having those, I don't know what they're called, those large...
Message boards.
Yes, the message boards.
Yes.
Just to... Okay.
We're going to have a lot of messaging, yes.
And then absolutely. I wonder if it's necessary to reach out to, like, Paulding.
Paulding has already been contacted.
Yay, because I just really...
So, yes, we've let them know that this work is occurring, and opened that line of communication so that they can ask questions as well.
And they'll be sending information to all the parents. Perfect. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Yeah, we actually talked with Andy Stinson, so he lets all the schools kind of know, but obviously AG High and Paulding, as Shannon mentioned, are the ones that we kind of directly talk with, so just because they generate the most traffic in this area. So that concludes my presentation, but I'm ready for questions if there are any more.
So do we own the K-rail that's currently in the village, or is it rented?
No, we've been renting that.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
So is this going to involve actual street, entire street closures? Because I'm sure that's going to be in the first question I get asked.
Okay, so Mason and Nevada, each one of them will be closed briefly, but not at the same time.
Okay.
So we're anticipating the work on Mason to occur tomorrow and the work on Nevada to occur on Thursday. Okay. The idea for Branch Street, and although I haven't seen the official traffic control plan for it, because in truth, the contract will be signed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. The idea that's been suggested is to do one-way traffic coming in, meaning from the freeway east, with the parklets removed and street parking removed. We don't think we can accomplish two-way traffic while doing the work that needs to be done, and then detouring the other direction down Tally-Ho how it is currently conceptualized. But we will know more as the traffic control plan is presented by the contractor.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? Let's go ahead and open up public comments. So if public has any questions about the city manager's report, this is item 6B, come on forward. And seeing no one in chambers, we'll check in with the city clerk. If any members of the public online would like to speak, please raise your hand. There are no raised hands and there are no written comments.
All right, then we will close public comment. We'll move on to item 7. This is City Council reports. We have none this time because we will do that at our next meeting. And community comments and suggestions. So this is item 8. This is your chance to come talk to us about items that are not on tonight's agenda. So if you would, please come forward. You can keep your comments to 3 minutes and address the council as one body. So if anyone would like to speak on items that are not on tonight's agenda, now's your chance. And seeing no one moving out of their seats in chambers, we'll check in with the city clerk again.
If any members of the public online would like to make a comment, please raise your hand. Okay, we have one. All right, Stephen, go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, council members and staff. This is Stephen Hanamaika, Transportation with the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. I just want to provide your council and the listening public with an update on our region's transportation funding efforts. I invite you to provide feedback through some of our survey tools. Everyone there, I believe, is well aware of Silcox role, so I won't spend any time there, but you're also likely aware that we lack access to a certain funding source that many counties throughout the state, as well including our neighbors in Santa Barbara and Monterey County, for transportation improvements. We've conducted early polling in April of this year regarding a potential ballot measure for transportation-specific sales tax, and we are in the next phase of public engagement. And we have sent out a link to a survey to each of the council members, as well as your key staff, to the localroadsfirst.com survey. We're encouraging members of the public and yourselves to provide some input on identifying what sort of transportations everybody thinks are needed most. So again, localroadsfirst.com is where you will be able to access that survey. We're also offering more detailed presentations to any local clubs or organizations so that we can share that information with them as well. For more information on the survey, please contact either our SLOCOG Public Information Officer, Annie Bowski, or James Worthley, who you received the email from, or visit localroadsfirst.com to complete that survey. Thank you, council members. That's all.
Okay, there are no other hands raised, and we do have one written public comment. Okay, it is from Gaia Powell. And it reads, I have made repeated requests that those on the city council who are making decisions on behalf of Arroyo Grande citizens, decisions that are causing division and discrimination in our community, division and discrimination that did not previously exist, provide proof of the laws that they referred to during their public
statements that influence their decisions. Having one of the city council members tell me to Google it is not an appropriate response. The burden of proof is on those who make the claims. Time to prove your statements are true or admit that you are incorrect. I hope we aren't left with the third potential explanation that you are lying to justify your decisions to force a discriminatory ideology onto the citizens of Arroyo Grande. During the May 23rd, 2023, regarding the LGBTQ plus community and progressive flag, a council member claimed there is a concerted effort across the United States right now attacking this particular community where we are making laws that are making it so they are not equal. We are not equal, and we have to acknowledge that. To think everyone is equal right now under the law is dot, dot, dot. You are digging a hole in the sand and sticking your head in it. During the last city council meeting, a council member claimed they are a lawyer who follows rules and that the DEIJ's city policy aligns with DEI law. Please provide the laws they are referring to. This is a reasonable request and should not be a difficult fulfill if they exist. Thank you. And that is the last written comment.
Thank you. So we'll close public comment. We'll move on to item 9. This is our consent agenda. And tonight we have several items, 9A through 9N. So first we'll check in with the council and see if anyone has questions, comments, or would like to pull something for separate consideration.
I have just a couple of comments and a question on one. 9H, 9I, and 9L.
Oh, yeah, well. 9H, 9I, and 9L?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Why don't you go ahead? So 9H?
Yes. So let's see. So this, I just wanted to highlight the fact that there were two grants that officers in our police department applied for, a $65,000 grant and a $41,000 grant. And I believe that Sergeant Burns applied for these or one of them, and then there was one other officer. This is a decent amount of free money for really good programs, and so I just wanted to highlight that, just thanking them for their work in applying and actually being awarded those grants. So it was Sergeant Burns, and then you told me the other officer, Bill?
Cada Pineda.
I'm sorry?
Cada Pineda.
Okay, thank you. So thank
so,
them.
Yeah. She did the ABC.
Okay.
Kata did, and then Jeremy Burns did the traffic safety for DUI enforcement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much. And then just a question on 9L. This is the Traffic Way Bridge project, and there was some information in the staff report about a closure for 11 months, and I just wanted to confirm that that was a full closure and not a partial closure, one lane closure, just because it's a really long time. So just...
Yeah, the feedback I've got from Brian, our community development director, is that Traffic Way will be closed fully in both directions for 11 months.
And will that just be where the bridge is, Brian? And if you don't have the answer right now, that's fine. But I'm just wondering how far back that Traffic Way closure goes.
The Traffic Way closure will happen right at the bridge. We'll make sure that the businesses on both sides of the bridge, you can get into those businesses. Mm-hmm. There'll be a temporary traffic signal at Bridge Street and Branch Street. There'll also be a temporary traffic signal at Fair Oaks and a southbound US 101 off ramp. And Bridge Street will go one way towards Branch Street. So the both ways can go like that and turn on the branch, either right or left. This plan was developed with input from the community, the fire, and the police services to try to make sure everybody is able to get around during the construction.
Okay. So then on Traffic Way, the closure is only to just the bridge, right?
That's
past.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
As we get closer to that project, our public works director, interim public works director, kind of described what it was going to look like as far as traffic control and the directions and detours. But I think we can provide a graphic in a couple of weeks that can kind of lay that out so that we can continue to educate and inform the public. Thank you.
And I would suggest that the public has no idea, even though we've been talking about this for a very long time.
Yeah.
So talk about message boarding we're going to have to do to let people know probably, you know, sometimes a month ahead of time.
Oh, I think we're going to be way ahead of that. We've already been working on that, but that's a great suggestion. We'll keep that in mind and keep on that effort. Yes, thank you.
And the communication with business owners has been constant, I presume?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so we've been talking with business owners up Traffic Way and in the village and in that whole area, but we'll continue to do that. So there's never a too much information coming out on that. So thank you.
All right, great. Any other questions? All right, let's open up public comment. So if you'd like to comment on items 9A through 9N, please come forward. And seeing no one coming forward in person, let's check in with the city clerk.
If any members of the public on Zoom would like to make a comment, please raise your hand. Okay, there are no raised hands and there are no written comments.
All right, so we'll close public comment and bring this back around to the council for consideration and possible action.
Madam Mayor, I would move for approval of items 9A through 9N.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Seacrest?
Yes.
Councilmember George?
Yes.
Mayor Vae Bressom?
Yes. Tonight, item 10, 11, and 12 are all none, so that takes us straight to council communications. Mayor Pro Tem?
Ooh. Gosh, I had something. I didn't write it down. I know you guys are so sad about that. If it comes to me in the next 30 seconds, I'm sure someone else is, no one else is going to have anything. So.
Councilmember Seacrest.
Like one small thing. I just wanted to say on behalf of District 1 and folks on Tally Ho and around Tally Ho, everyone is very excited that the build-out project, the frontage project, is going to be going forward. Thank you so much for all your work on that. I've tried to keep them informed. So just want to let you know. Thanks.
I just wanted to say, I know we don't have any public comment, but 9A through 9N, that, I mean, they're just letters, but that's a lot of work that goes into each and every one of those 9A, 9B, and I just wanted to commend the city because that's just a lot of work, and I know how much time and effort it takes to get our city moving forward, and I know there's going to be a lot of inconveniences with road closures and mergings and detours, but it's just all positive, and so I just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Yeah, you don't get fixed streets without fixing the streets, right? So, all right. Anyone else? Yes.
Yeah, I did. As we heard from Slocog there, they are planning to put together their tax initiative and input. So you all do have the opportunity certainly to input directly, but I wanted to see if you wanted to agendize for direction, input. Maybe direction's not the right word. Input
to you?
For me. And see if you guys wanted to do that or
not. If you are requesting that, then I would second that.
Sure, yeah. I'd like to hear from you guys.
If you feel like that's something you'd like to get from us.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Bill, you got that?
And I will say, based on timing, probably, I'm going to say almost has to be the next council meeting, because they're going to start considering it anyway October 5th, so.
Could I ask a question about that, Isaac? Is that something that the Planning Commission would be good with as well? Like, is that input that would be helpful coming from them as well?
I would say normally we wouldn't have extended it there. When they did this last time, the council weighed in very directly later on in the process. But last time they started much later. So it is really more about, it's more of a financial rather than I would consider a true planning.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off what Councilmember Guthrie said, I think also because the council is imbued with those policymaking functions, even though there's obviously a component that impacts planning here.
And just regarding that, I was, someone reached out on another city council that's on the SLOCOG board to ask me or an opinion. I'm sure the person did to everyone as well. So I shared it there.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to have you guys have that. I mean, in the end, I have to be the board member, but I did want to hear from you guys.
Thank you for that. Any other council communications? All right. Well, Are we good? Okay. I didn't know if we're in trouble over here or something. Okay. All right. We are heading into the best month of the year, October. We got three new animatronics sitting in my front living room. This is what it's like at my house. So you all will start seeing those things coming out in the next week. We're going to have some fun on Myrtle Drive so you guys can come by. All right, everyone. That takes us to adjournment. We'll see you in a couple weeks.